Today's shiur is Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we're going to begin by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Koshrin deliba piskia." If the barrel of that's used in a well to fill up with water, the string attached to the barrel gets disconnected. So the halacha is that you're allowed to take a girdle and tie it. Avaloi bechevel, you're not allowed to take a string. So Rashi explains, if you take a girdle, we know you're not going to leave it there, so it's not a kesher shakayama. As we've been explaining, a kesher shakayama, a permanent knot, is also to be made on Shabbos, but a rope you can use. So rope you can't use, but a girdle you're not going to leave there, and that's why it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda matter. Rabbi Yehuda says that whether you use a rope or a girdle, it's mutter under both situations. Klal Amar Rabbi Yehuda, continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda set a rule: Kol kasher she'enek shel kayama, any knot which is not permanent, ein chayovim lov, is not osam d'oraisa on Shabbos. So Tosfos explains that who is Rabbi Yehuda addressing? Rabbi Yehuda is addressing Rameya. The Rameya said in the Mishnah that it depends if you could undo the knot with one hand or two hands. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's not the test. The test is it permanent or not? It doesn't make a difference how many hands you need to tie it or untie it. Ask the Gemara. Chevel demai. What kind of rope are we discussing in our Mishnah? Ilei mechevel da alma. If you're telling me that he's using a regular rope to tie to the pitcher, so ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda matter. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use such a rope. Kesher shakayamahu. It's going to be there permanently. How could Rabbi Yehuda say that you could tie such a rope to the pitcher? Ella, chevel de gardi. It must be a weaver's rope, which is an expensive rope, and not going to be left there. Lememra. What does that mean? Drabonin savri. Drabonin hold gazrin chevel de gardi, otu chevel de alma. Drabonin say, Drabonin agree that nobody's going to leave a weaver's rope there on a permanent basis. But they say if we're going to allow you to use a weaver's rope, you may come to use a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand holds Loi Gazrinin. We don't make such a zera, and even though on a regular rope it's Asur, on a weaver's rope it's Mutter. Vriminu asked the Gemara question. It says another Brisa, Chevel Delisha Nifsak, if a rope of this tali, of this pitcher, got disattached, lo yei kashroi, you're not allowed to make a knot, ela oinvoi, you're only allowed to make a bow. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, kairach aloi punda paskia, you're allowed to put on it some sort of a patch, uvvach lo yenvena, but don't make even a bow. Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have question Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. And our Mishnah, and in the Gemara we just learned, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use a rope. Here it says that you could only use a patch. And Kasha Rabbanan, Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, our Mishnah say, the way the Gemara just finished explaining, that you're not allowed to use any type of rope. And here the Rabbanan say that you are. Ask the Gemara. The Rabbanan answers the Gemara. The Rabbanan loy kasha. The question that we had in the Rabbanan is not a question. You know why? Chevel bechevel mifchlef. If I let you use a weaver's rope, which is the way we explained the Mishnah, we're concerned that you may use a regular rope. That's why the Rabbanan say, don't use any rope. And neither bekshira, but if you use a bow, nobody's going to confuse a gnat with a bow. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda like kasha. Similarly, there's no question between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam loy mishum de michlef aniv v'kshira. It's not because Rabbi Yehuda says that I'm concerned that you're going to get confused between making a knot and making a bow. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda holds aniv gufa kshira. He holds that a bow itself is asur. So we have Rabbi Yehuda being makel, and Rabbi Yehuda being machmer, and Rabbi Yonah being makel, and Rabbanan being machmer. And let's explain. Rabbanan are makel, that they hold a bow, is not kesher. But they are machmer when they say that you're not allowed to take or even a chevel de gardi, that you're not going to leave there because they're afraid you may use a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, we don't make seiris. Just because you can't use a regular rope doesn't mean you shouldn't use a special rope that you won't leave there. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda holds that making a bow is not considered kshira. And that's the way we paskin. The making a bow is not kshira. That, and even a double bow, one bow on top of another bow, we also paskin is not called kesher and can be tied and untied on Shabbos. Derma goes a step further. And Derma says that a bow on top of a knot, that means if you'll make a knot, and on top of the knot, one knot, not a double knot, you'll make one knot and a bow on top of it, says the Rama, that is also considered a bow, and it's not called a kesher, and will be mutter. The Mishnah Brura quotes Paiskim to say that they don't agree with that shita. It's a shita of the Ogur that the Rama is quoting, and they hold that a bow on top of a knot is considered a kesher, and therefore the Mishnah Brura says that the best thing is not to make a bow on top of a knot, but if you're going to make a bow on top of a knot, you should make it with the clear intention that it should not be there for more than 24 hours, which means it's not permanent. Where is the shaila very relevant? The shaila is relevant when somebody is doing galila. When we do galila, not the type of that they use nowadays with the hooks, but with the gartel, they used to make a knot and then a bow on top of it. According to the Mishnah Brura, it would be a question, especially by Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, because the next time the Sefer Torah is going to be used is Monday morning. And let's say it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the next time that Sefer Torah may be used is a month from then. So it's certainly a problem. According to the Mishnah Brura, in such circumstances, you should rather make a double bow, not a bow on top of the knot. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that even though he agrees when the Mishnah Brura that preferably you should not make a bow on top of a knot, but L'tzorich Mitzvah, since the Rama says that a bow on top of a knot is not called a kesher, you could do it. Then I saw another interesting shaila along the same lines. What's going to be the halacha that if you take out your bag, your garbage bag, and you want to tie it together, so are you allowed to make a knot? Are you allowed to make a bow? I mean, a bow you're certainly allowed to make. A double bow even you're certainly allowed to make. But let's say you want to make sure that's really closed, and you'll make a knot. A bow on top of a knot, which we just explained, certainly according to the Mishnah Brura, is not something that l'chatchila you should do. Could you make such a closure on your garbage can, on your garbage bag? So the Debret Sinarov in the Chuvas Be'er Moshe is Mekel. And he says a very interesting svara. He says, when is something considered a knot? A knot is considered a knot when it's something made to open and close, open and close. This knot that you tie together your garbage bag, you don't want it to open ever. Since you don't want it to make it open ever, that's not really considered a knot, and we could be more makel on those kind of knots than in other situations. And the truth is, there's a great riot to it from a Maril Diskin. We know that in Yom Kippur, one of the avoiders were that they tied this red string to the head of the Sor La'Azazel. How could they tie it on? It's making a knot on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to do malacha. Says the Maril Diskin, since that was a knot that's going to remain forever, it's not something that you're going to tie and untie, that doesn't have the din of kesher, and it's mutter. So we see that in halacha, a kesher that it's not going to be open and closed doesn't have the same significance as a kesher that remains forever.
Why don't we say in yesterday's staff where we said the tie that the
right? So why didn't the Gemara give that teretz yesterday?
When we said that case is when if he unties that,
he's going to leave it for a long time. Doesn't mean he's never going to untie it. It means he's going to leave it on long time. But doesn't mean he'll never untie it. It's a good point. Amrav Chibar Ashi Amrav. Maybe Adam Chavim Tach Beisai, a person could bring a rope from his house for Kaisha Beparo or Beivis, and he could tie it to his cow or to the feeding barrel from which the cow eats. Eisvei Rav Ava Richa, the Rav Achav Papa Rav Ava, Chavos Shebeivis, the rope that's tied to the feeding Kaisha Beparo, you're allowed to tie it to the cow. V'shebapara, if you have a rope around the neck of the cow, kashroi be'ivus. You're allowed to tie it to the feeding pail. Or that, shloyavi chevam etach be'isoi, v'kashroi b'para be'ivus. But not that you're allowed to bring a new rope and tie it to both. Answers the Gemara. Chasam chevel da'alma. There we're talking about a rope that you brought from your house. That rope, if you're going to tie both to the cow and to the feeding pail, we're afraid you're going to leave forever. Hacha, however, we're talking about chevel degardi. Since we're talking about a chevel degardi, a weaver's thing, a weaver's rope, we're not concerned you're going to leave there forever. So Tosfos points out, two pshatim. One pshat Tosfos says this is going to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't make a gzeira by regular rope because of chevel degardi. Or Tosfos says even the Rabbanim. Why? Because he says that even though in our Mishnah the Rabbanan said a regular rope is osur, because we're afraid that if you're going to let them use, even a chevel degardi is osur, because you may use a regular rope, that's when you're doing it by a barrel. But something around the cow is something around the cow and its feeding pail is something that you're not going to leave, and there the Rabbanan don't make gzeira chevel degardi, chevel de alma, regular rope, because of chevel degardi. The Bach says a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says like this, to bring a rope and put it around both is also by regular rope. But a regular rope, if one side is already attached, then you're allowed to tie it to the other side. Why is there a difference? If it's also to bring a regular rope, why is there a difference if you're doing both sides or you're doing only one side? So the Bach says pshat like this. When you're doing both sides, you're not going to leave the cow with a feeding pail around its neck forever. And now I don't know which is the side you're going to leave permanently and which is the side that you're going to take apart. So that's why you can tie it with a regular rope. But if you have a rope around the neck of a cow and now you're making the net around the feeding pail or vice versa, we could safely assume that what's the knot you're going to take apart? The last knot you did. And that's why it's not a chesher shakayama and it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yudah Mishmul. Kekiyui. Kekiyui is a rod that the weavers used to straighten out the strings on the loom. The loch is butl tatlum b'shabbos, you can move them in Shabbos, and it's not muksa. It's not muksa. So Rashi explains, because it's not a keli shemlach del iser. So asks Rabbi Kiva Egon Rashi, how could you say it's not a keli shemlach del iser? The fact is that those rods are used for something that are also to be done on Shabbos. So that's why Rabbi Kiva Eger explains Pshat Rashi is that it's that the Gemara means it's not considered muksa machmas chsaron kis. I would think it's muksa machmas chsaron kis. Tells us Rashi that it tells us the Gemara it isn't. What's the problem with Rabbi Kiva Eger's parrots? That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says klishim lach delisser. So I saw two ways of learning. One way Rashi is going to have to learn is that the chiddush of the Gemara is that I would think that since it's used l'isser, but it also has hetadiga use, it has permitted use, so what is its status? Teaches us the Gemara that status is that it's not a keli shemalach l'isser as long as it has some hetadiga use. But I saw another pshat from a Metzin Abishol in Rabbi Kivegi. He says like this, a big chiddush, that a keli shemalach, that something to be considered muchsumach son kis also has to be a keli shemalach l'isser. He says that if something's not a keli shemalach l'isser, then it can't be muktzmach sarn kis. That means, according to him, there's a question always. If you have a picture hanging on the wall, a beautiful painting, so usually we say it's a muktzmach sarn kis because it's something that you're careful about. He says no, it's not a keli shemalach l'isser, so it's not a muktzmach sarn kis. That's what Rashi means. He says Rashi's coming to tell us you would think maybe it's a muktzmach sarn kis. The answer is since it's not a keli shemalach l'isser because it also has hetadiga use, so it can't be called a muktzmach sarn kis. They had such beams on top of the loom, on top and on bottom. Mahu, are they muksa or not? Says the Gemara in the lav rat fibiyade. He said sometimes yes, sometimes no. He wasn't sure. Itmar, Amar Nachman Amishmu, kli kiyui, the weaver's rod, mutl tatum b'shabbos, the nam muksa. He goes further. Even the upper beam and the lower beam are not muksa and may be moved in Shabbos. They sometimes had such beams that they held the loom in a vertical position with. that is already muksa. Omle Rav Rav Nachman, Mashna al Mudm Deloy. Why are you differentiating and saying that these beams are muksa? Elaim the covered gumis. If you're going to tell me because when you move them, you're making a hole in the ground, says the Gemara, gumis v'meila kahavya. That's not considered making a hole. When you have something in the ground and you pick it up and there's a hole there, that's not called making a hole. So the Beis Meir says pshat, because the hole is there previously from all along. You just picked up the thing that was in the hole. The hole is there anyway. The Magen Avraham says that even if it's considered making a hole, it's Tovash Ein Miskaven. When you're picking it up, you're not intending to making a hole. You're intending to pick up the beam. I asked the Magen Avraham, it's a psik resha. And we know that even if we hold the Dovashen Miskavin is mutter by psik resha, it's usur. So he says here it's a psik resha mekalkel, because you end up with a hole, which is destructive. A Dovashen Miskavin, even if it's a psik resha, but if it's mekalkel, it's mutter. So we're going to learn like the Beis Meir, the Tanan. How do we know that if a hole exists from before, it's not a problem? Tanan, a toyman left us with sonnenes. If somebody puts turnips or radishes, tachsa geffen, under a vine, im mixes alav megulin, if some of the leaves are still visible, ein chayshish, there's no problem, loim shem klayim, it's not considered klayim, that you brought another vegetable into a vineyard. And the truth is, the Rishonim say, as long as it doesn't take root, there's no klayim. V'loim mishum shvius, it's not considered that you planted in Shemitah. V'loim mishum ma'isa, there is no chiyuv to take ma'isa again from these things. V'nitn b'shabbos, and you can move them on Shabbos. So what do we see? That since the hole was there from before, when you take something out from a hole, it's not considered making a hole. Here too, when you take the beams from the loom out of the hole, it's not considered making a hole. Says the Gemara, this, you can't bring a proof from there. Why? Besada, there we're dealing in a field. There is no concern like osilajvi gumas that you're going to straighten it out. But here we're talking about a loom in the house where there's more of a concern of osilajvi gumas. Boy, mine, Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yehud, Baal Levoy. Klei kiyui, ki goyim, kaivara elyon, the kaivara tachtan, maal tatlan b'shabas. What is the look about the upper beam? Are you allowed to move on the low beam? May you move them? Amale ein metatlan. You're not allowed to. So he disagrees, and that's the halacha that they consider muksa. My tama lefish ein nitlan, because they're not something that's moved. So Rashi is somewhat ambiguous what he means. It seems to be that Rashi is saying that hilka kom lachten lekach, that they're used exclusively for weaving. So they have the din of a kli shemlach del iser, and since they're kli shemlach del iser, you're not allowed to move it. Well, I guess we'll have to learn that it's a muksa machm suksarim kis. Continues the Mishnah, Mekaplan as a kalim, you could fold garments, afilu amba v'chamesh pomim, even four or five times, we're talking about garments that could get creased, and you want to wear these garments on Shabbos again, and you don't want to wear them creased, obviously, so you'll have to change it 4 or 5 times. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, a mitzina samitas, you can make a bed, milel Shabbos l'Shabbos, from Friday night to Shabbos by day. Avloi m'Shabbos l'Motzei Shabbos, you can't make a bed from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos. Why can't you make a bed from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos? Because that means hachana, you're preparing on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, continues the Mishnah, mekaplan sakel, you're allowed to make a, you're allowed to fold the garments, matzinas, amitas, miyom kippur, and shabbos. In their calendar, not an our calendar, yom kippur could come out on Friday, yom kippur could come out on Sunday. Says Rabbi Shmuel, yom kippur is a lower degree of kedusha than shabbos, and therefore you can make a bet on Friday yom kippur for shabbos. Similarly, since shabbos is greater than yom kippur, if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, the Chel v'Shabbos, you brought Karbonos and Shabbos, and you have the leftover fats that have to be burned on Motzei Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, those fats could be craven by Yom Kippur, could be burnt on Yom Kippur. Avloi Shev Yom Kippur and b'Shabbos. But if you have fats left over from Yom Kippur that you need to burn, you can't burn them on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a higher level than Yom Kippur. Kiva Imer, Loisha Shabbos Kraven Yom Kippurim. You can't bring Shabbos fats on Yom Kippur. The Loisha Yom Kippurim Kraven Shabbos. And we'll explain in the Gemara, in Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow, in Daf Kuf Yudalid, the explanation why. So the Mishnah spoke about folding clothing. So the Mishnah Brura says, obviously this entire discussion is when you fold clothing on their original crease. But if you're not folding it on the original crease, it's not considered kippul begadim, and it's certainly mutter. What is the shayla? The shayla is, if you take off your talis Shabbos morning, when you take off your talis Shabbos morning, are you allowed to fold it? So, to fold it along its original creases, you have a lot of shaylas. First of all, if you fold it along its original creases, you have the shayla mekaplin of folding, which is usur, as we just learned in Mishnah. Moreover, if somebody has a somebody's not going to wear his talis again, we don't wear our talis afterwards, we wear our talis in the morning, we're not going to wear it again. So that means we're preparing it for after Shabbos, or for next week's Shabbos, even if it's a talis that's just used for Shabbos. And therefore, you have two problems, why you shouldn't be allowed to fold the talis. So the Chaya Adam says that you're allowed to fold the talis Shabbos morning, as long as you don't fold it on the original creases. But a lot of Paiskim, the Marsham, and other Paiskim have a hard time understanding the Chaya Adam. Because true, you might not have a problem of Kippel, but you have a problem of Achana. You're preparing it for after Shabbos. And that's why he and other poets can say that you should not fold the talis in any way on Shabbos. You should just leave it the way it is if you can and fold it on Motzoi Shabbos. But I saw a very interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. He says if a person has a talis that he only wears on Shabbos, a lot of people have a talis that they only use on Shabbos. So when you're folding the talis, what are you doing hachana for? You're doing hachana from one Shabbos, not for the weekdays. You're doing hachana for the next week Shabbos. He says that the isra hachana is only from Shabbos to weekdays, but not from Shabbos to Shabbos. He says like this. He says in the shul that, I guess in Yerushalayim, they used to have glasses that they used to drink coffee before davening, only Shabbos morning. And he says, the question was, are you allowed to wash those glasses? Because those glasses aren't going to be used again till next week Shabbos. So he says you're allowed to wash them because you're being mechen from one Shabbos to another Shabbos. So according to him, there's no problem. If you only have a talis that you wear on Shabbos, there's no problem with achanah because achanah from one Shabbos to another Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Debei Reb Yani, Loi Shanu, Tikkun Mona. Amar Debei Reb Yani, Loi Shanu Al-Badim Echad. This that we learned, that you could do kippul, is only with one person. Abu shnei ne'odim, two people. So then it's much better of a fold. It's also. Of adam echad nami lo yamar al b'chadoshim, that have the crease. Al b'yishonim, where the crease is more important, loy. V'chadoshim nami lo yamar al b'lveinim. Even on white ones, even on new ones, we're only going to allow you to do it on white clothing. Al b'tzvun loy, not by cold ones. And furthermore, Elish Ainlo Lahaklif. If he has nothing else to wear, then you can't go out with a creased garment. Av Yeshlo Lahaklif, if you could wear a different suit, Loi, don't start folding clothing. Tana, and the Brisa says, Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel, Loi Kaplan, Kli Lovin Shalhem, in Rabbi Gamliel's home, even the white begotten they did not fold, Neshehel and Lahaklif. They were wealthy people, and they could change the begotten. Apparently, in the white, it doesn't make a difference that much if it's folded. It's nice anyway. In the colored one, if it's not creased, it doesn't look nice. Amar Reb Huna, Im Yesh Lo Lahachlif, if somebody has special garments that he can wear on Shabbos, Yachlif, he should change. Bimlein Lo Lahachlif, let's say the person can't afford to buy Shabbos clothing, Yashashav Begodiv. He should open up the hem, and he should wear long garments in Shabbos. Maskula Rav Safra Va Mechzik Ramas Rucha. It looks like Gaiva, somebody who wears long clothing. Says the Gemara, Kim the Kol Yom Eloi Kovit. Since the person doesn't wear such types of garments the whole week, Ve'ednehu the Kovit, it's only on Shabbos that he wears such clothing. La Mechzik Ramas Rucha. It doesn't look like Gaiva. And that's the halacha. L'chatchil, a person should have Shabbos clothing. I saw interesting shayla. Does that halacha also apply to shoes? Meaning like this. The the Rav Pa'olim speaks about this. He says, on a suit, you can have a nicer suit or not such a nice suit. Chassidim, they wear bekesha, so you have a bekesha. You wear on Shabbos, you don't wear during the week. But shoes, what's the difference between Shabbos shoes and weekday shoes? So he says, maybe you should, that this Gemara's halacha doesn't apply to shoes. And Itaka says that you don't have to have Shabbos shoes, and he brings a very nice raya from the brichas hashachar that we make every morning. We make a bracha malbish harumim, which goes for all the clothing we wear, and then we make another bracha shasli katsarki, which refers to the shoes. So you see that shoes are not included in regular clothing, and it's only regular clothing that the Gemara says you have to change, not shoes. It says in the pasuk, v'chibadetoy, you should honor the Shabbos ma'asoyis tekecha, from your regular way. What does that mean? The Chibadat explains the Gemara, your weekday, your Shabbos clothing should not be like your weekday clothing. He used to call his clothing what honors him. Clothing makes the man. Continues the Gemara, the way you walk on Shabbos should not be the way you walk during the week. We'll explain that in the Gemara on the base. Your own private business is also but dealing with mitzvahs is mutter, stalker or shiduchim, Rashi says. Your speech on Shabbos should not be like during the week. So Rashi says, what does that mean? That you shouldn't speak business. Ask Tosfos that that's difficult, because we just explained that mimtzu cheftzucha, that you're not allowed to talk business. So why do I need another pasuk to teach me that you're not allowed to do business in Shabbos? So that's why Tosfos says, pshat is, that shalai yidibrucha shal Shabbos kedibrucha shal chol, means a person shouldn't talk that much on Shabbos. He shouldn't talk that much on Shabbos, he should talk less on Shabbos.
Rashi is a different explanation.
No, Rashi.
Focus on business.
It's bitzachav tzachav. It's also business. So, how do you answer Rashi? So, Mefarshim say Pshan and Rashi like this. We just said there's certain businesses you're allowed to talk about Shabbos. Tvar mitzvah you're allowed to talk on Shabbos. Tztokah, shidduch. Say the Mefarshim and Rashi, what does Rashi mean to say? That even if you're talking about business that you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos, there's a way of talking that business too. It should be spoken with different language on Shabbos than during the week. All the Mefarshim say, Shalai debrucha shal Shabbos kedebrucha shal chol, is talking about how you daven. On Shabbos you daven differently than what you daven during the week. Shalai debrucha shal Shabbos kedebrucha shal chol, daven differently. It's Shabbos. You have a neshama yaseirah. I saw from Yosha Ben Salvechik a very interesting pshat. The halach is that on Yontif we say certain yoytzeris, certain tchinas. So the bruchah shel Shabbos, the bruchah shel Chol. What happens when Yontif comes out on Shabbos? So then a lot of the tefillahs that we would normally would say on Yontif, we don't say on Shabbos. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu when Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. We don't say the Rabbeinu Shel Olam by Duchening when it's on Shabbos. So the bruchah shel Shabbos, the bruchah shel Chol. When Shabbos, when Yontif is on Shabbos, it's a different davening. Another pshat I saw is like this. We learned in last week Parsha. We learned in the last week passage with Dibar Tabom, we said every day, V'loi V'varim B'Talim. They not have to speak V'varim B'Talim. But there's a vart from Reb Zalman, the brother of the Gra. Where does that apply? In a place that you can talk Torah. In a place that you can talk Torah, you shouldn't speak V'varim B'Talim. But in a bathroom, you're allowed to speak V'varim B'Talim. They say he used to speak about, he used to learn all sorts of things, because there you can't speak Torah. He says that's only during the week. But in Shabbos, it's different. But, says the Truma Sedeshin, if a person enjoys speaking about politics, a person enjoys speaking about current events, so even though we're just learning Shalai Debruch Shashka Debruch Shalchol, if that's something that he enjoys, that's mutter. Davar Acher, Dibur Osir, Hira Mutter. You're not allowed to talk Dvaram Chol, but you're allowed to think them. But says the Chacham Tzvi, what does it mean you're allowed to think? Because you can't control what comes into your mind. Says the Chacham Tzvi, that's only if you're thinking and it came to your mind, so I can't control it. But he says to go read a newspaper, and because you read the newspaper, then you'll be thinking about things that you're not allowed to. That's not mutter. You're only allowed to think something that you should have been, that you couldn't control. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Kulul Chai, everything we learned, I could understand. We say you can't walk on Shabbos like you walk during the week. Mahi, what does that mean? ki hadram huna amrav va amrale amrav abba amrav huna hay mahalch b'shabbos. If somebody is walking Shabbos, a pog ba amas amayim, there's a pog. The halach is like this: im ha yochla nichas raglu rishayna kadem shnit akishniya. If he could go over it with one step, it's not such a big puddle. Mutter mlav, but if not, osur. He shouldn't jump. Shabbos, you're not supposed to jump. Maskle Rava asks Rava, heichel evit. What do you want this person to do? You have a puddle, and he can't jump. You don't want him to jump. What do you want him to do? Lakev, he should walk around it because of Shabbos, or become apish be'alucha. You'll walk around, you'll end up walking too much. You would have walked less if you would have jumped over it. On the other hand, lever just walks through it in order to avoid jumping. Zimnen, the mitzvah money, by walking through it, you may get your garments wet. Vosodei sicha. And you're going to come to squeezing them out, which we spoke about earlier, is also in Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ela Baha, Kim Delay Efsher, since you have no option, even though normally on Shabbos you're not allowed to jump, here you have no other way of getting past the puddle, Shapadami, you could jump it over. Ella, so we're back to where we started. What is Pshat, Shlo Yehiluchach Shabbos, Keluchach Bechol? Are you allowed to take large steps on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do it during the week? Shani Oimer. So I say, Psiya Gasa, they tell us, Echad Mechomesh Meism or Enof. Somebody takes large steps, loses 1/500th of his vision. Mahadalei, Bekadusha de Beishimsha. And how does he correct that? The way he corrects it is by, Rashi says, drinking Kiddush wine. So what it means is, it means like this, even during the week you shouldn't take big steps. But during the week taking big steps is only going to harm your vision. There is no Isser. On Shabbos, there's an Isser to take big steps. Now there's three Pshatim, there's a few Pshatim when we say that by the wine of Kiddush Friday night corrects it. Rashi says, by drinking the Kiddush, that's how you correct the problem. Others say, it's not by drinking the Kiddush, it's by dabbing the Kiddush wine by your eyes. But you can't put them into your eyes, because we learned last week in the Gemara that putting into your eyes a refuah, you should put it near your eye. The Meiri says, it doesn't involve drinking or dabbing, it's just looking at the Kiddush cup. When a person looks at the Kiddush cup, that's enough. But there's a very interesting Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says, it doesn't mean the Kiddush wine. It means the two candles that are on the table. And he says, what's Pshat? He says, the Gemara says that what do you lose when you take big steps? You lose 1/500th of your eye. Ner, the word ner, which is the word for candle, is Begematria 250. 2 times 250 is 500. Looking at the candle corrects, which has the numerical equivalent of 500, corrects the problem of a losing 1/500th. What pshat? What does looking at the candle have to do with correcting the problem that you took big steps? So I sort of mafarshim explain like this. Why do we have two eyes? Why do we have two candles? One is to look at ourselves, and then the other one is to look at other people. A person who takes a psiya gasa, who takes big steps, it means like this, he thinks he's perfect. He's balgaiva. He's looking at somebody else only. So we tell him to look at the two candles and say, just like you have two candles, two eyes, that you should only not only be looking at others, look at yourself also. Yeah, that's a good kasha. But that's the minute to look at the candles when you make Kiddush. May you eat earth for medicinal purposes on Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat it during the week that you're asking about Shabbos? Shani Oimer. Af b'chol u'osur. It's even also during the week to eat earth. M'nei shemalka. It causes disease. Omer of Ami. Kol oich ma'afr shabavol. Anybody who eats from the earth above, it's as if he's eating chas v'shalom, his father's, his ancestors' remains. So the Farshim explain why. Because that in Bavel they were not careful to mark the graves. So when you eat from earth, you don't know if there wasn't a grave in that earth. V'yesh oimrim, ka'oichle shkotzim r'moshim. It's as if he eats shkotzim r'moshim, creeping creatures. The ksiv, v'yimach esei ka'yukom. Everything in the world was destroyed, and it ended up, as we're going to learn, in Bavel. Because Amar Eshlak Shlom and Nikrishma Shinner. Why is Bavel called Shinner? Shekom Meisei Mabel, since it's a low-lying area, all the people that died in the Mabel, Ninaru Lisham, ended up rolling there. Amar Yechalam Nikrishma Metzula. Metzula is like the depths. Shekom Meisei Midbel Nitzdal Lisham. So since it has all these dead people and they didn't mark the graves, the earth is likely to be with the remains of a grave. Yishayimer Keilo Echol Shkotzim Remashim. It's like he ate shkotzim remoshim. Ask the Gemara, vavadi smuchim smachu. These shkotzim remoshim certainly dissolved, and there's no problem. Says the Gemara, amri kim de malki. Since by eating the earth it causes disease, gosber rabbonin. It could cause. The rabbonin said that you shouldn't eat it, even though it may not be halachically considered shkotzim remoshim, because the Gemara says a story. Hu gavra. There was a person. Dochel gagishta. He ate earth, v'ochle tachli, and then he ate kresh, v'kotle tachli b'libe, and they started growing in his stomach. The earth and the kresh and the liquid in his stomach, he started growing, and it affected his heart, it put pressure on his heart, v'mis, and he died. So the pasuk says that boyas, that rus, that Naomi, sorry, we'll get it right. Naomi said to Ruth, V'chatz, you should wash yourself, V'sacht, and you anoint yourself, V'samt, sum loisech, and then put on clothing when you'll meet Boaz. Amar Rav Elazar, Eil begodim shel Shabbos. That's what special clothing she should put on. The big day Shabbos, which you just explained, a person has to have big day Shabbos. Says the Gemara, it says in Pasuk and Mishlei, Ten lechacham v'yakamayit. A smart person, if you tell him an intelligent thing, he expounds it even further. Amar Belazar, Zu Ros HaMaviyah, who are these people? Ros, v'shmul haramasi. Dil Ros, Nami Karmelei, v'chatz v'sacht, v'sam tzum aleich, wash yourself, put on your nice clothing, v'yirat ta'agorin, and then you'll go down to the granary, where you'll meet Boaz. The Bidok said, what did it say she did? The Teirat HaGorin, first she went down to the granary, and only afterwards, the hard of a task called Ashit Sifsach HaMaisai. Then she did what her mother-in-law told her to change. Why? Because had she walked in the street during the week with her Shabbos clothing, she would have drawn attention to herself, which is something she wouldn't want to do. Where do we see that Shmuel was smart? What is the story with Shmuel? Shmuel came to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, Shiloh, and he's laying, and he hears a voice calling out. He doesn't know what that voice is, so he calls to Eli and asks him what that voice is. And Eli tells him, "The Eli Kamale Shchaf, go back to sleep." And he tells him, "V'homem yikra lecha, if this voice calls out to you again, v'mat daber Hashem, speak Hashem, kishmei avdecha, I'm listening." V'il v'dedek, so what does Shmuel do? V'yavoy Hashem, Hashem again came, v'yisyatzev and appeared to him, v'yikra b'pam b'pam Shmuel Shmuel, he calls out again Shmuel Shmuel, v'yoyim Shmuel daber, speak, kishmei avdecha, because I'm listening. V'loyomer v'daber Hashem, he didn't use Hashem's name. Why? Because since he wasn't 100% certain that it was Hashem, he didn't want to use Hashem's name. So the pasuk continues, the Gemara continues discussing Rus. V'teilech v'tove v'tilket b'sodah. Amar Belezer, Shaholchel Basa, she kept on going. Paholchel Basa, Ach Motza Bnei Adam Hagunim Leilichlem. She only went until she found the right company who to be with. V'yoyim Abayis Lenara Hanitzef Al Kaitrim. Abayis said to his attendant who was standing with the people who were cutting the grain, Lemi Hanara Zeis, who's this maiden? Ask the Gemara. The Chidaka Shabayis Lishal Benara. Is it Abayis's custom to ask about the girls? Amar Belezer, Dova Chachma Rabba. He saw that she was smart. Shnei Shebalim Lakta, Shlosha Enelakbalim Lakta. There's a loch like this, called Leket, that if people are cutting the field, if they drop two bundles, the poor people could pick it up. That's Leket. Three, they can't. So she was smart. She only picked up two, not three. Ask the Mashal, what's the Chachma? That's a halacha that everybody knows. So the Imre Emes explains like this. Even though Beis Hillel says that leket is only with two bundles, not by three bundles, if somebody is an almana and a ger and a yosam, then for them leket is three bundles. So what did she do? She saw like this: when they dropped three bundles, she knew most of the poor people don't fit into that category, so most of the poor people can't take those bundles. But the two bundles that dropped, everybody could take. So she was smart. She took the two bundles because she knew the three bundles will be there later, because there's very few takers. That was the chachma that he saw in her. He saw that she acted sneez. The way she bent down to pick up the bundles was careful not to expose herself. Ask the Gemara, v'chi darkei shabayis ladabikim inoshim. They use a lashon of tidbakin, and like the Mashal explains, if what he meant was just that she should be friendly with her, with his girls, with his women workers, he should have said v'chay tischavrin. What did it say, tidbakin? Amar lazer, kivin the chaza. Once he saw v'tishak arpa l'chamasa, that arpa kissed her mother-in-law and left her. V'rus Barus remained with her mother-in-law. Amish Charlotte Bukaba. This is a woman who may marry. So he told her, come here. What's the lashon of haloim? Like the Mashal explains, haloim is not usually a language that's used. He was giving her a hint. From you and me will come David's family, the Ksib Beis Ksibay Haloim, because regarding David HaMelech it says Haloim, Shinam V'Yovai HaMelech David V'Yeshiv L'Fnei Hashem V'Yom Mi Anoichi Adosh Shem Elokim V'Umi Beisi V'Kevisani Ad Haloim. So you see that he uses Haloim. V'Tabalta Pitech B'Chaimet, so the boy is told to dip your bread in vinegar. Amar V'Laz Mekan Shechaimet Yof L'Sheriv. On a hot day, you dip your bread into vinegar, it's good for you. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar, Ramaz Osed Ben Lotzis Mimcha. You will have a descendant Shemasif Kshoshin Kachaymitz, that his actions will be bad like vinegar. Umanu, who was that? Menashe. Menashe was a descendant of David, who was a Rasha. The Teish Mitzada Kaitzrim, he told it to sit on the side of the people who cut. Amar Blazer Mitzada Kaitzrim, sit on the side of the Loi We know that after Shalom HaMelech, the king Melech's Beis David split between Malchus Beis David, Rechavim, and Malchus Yisrael, Yeravim. The Yotzbah, like Kala V'Toichel, he gave her this corn to eat. Amr Lez V'Toichel, what does it mean? B'mei David. Klai Yisrael had food B'mei David. V'tiz B'mei Shloima. They were satiated. They would have had greater Madreg B'mei Shloisha. V'toyser even more B'mei Chizkiah, who was their descendant. V'kidam V'toych B'mei David B'Shloima. V'tiz B'mei Chizkiah, which they even had more. V'toyser B'mei Rebbe. In the time of Rebbe. Dom Remar, Ahurui the Rebbe, the person who took care of the stable of Rebbe, have Osim Yisrael Malka, was even wealthier than Shva Malka. Why? Because Rebbe had so much animal, so many animals, that the stable keeper kept the manure, which was used as fertilizer, and he had so much fertilizer that he became so wealthy. But in this world she had food, but Tizba, she's even more satiated, L'maisa Mashiach, but Taisa, and then we'll really have a lot, Mitzvah Shem, Bekarev, Lassad Lach.